I feel a sweet spirit in this place. You'll have to excuse me. I'm an emotional preacher, but I just was so moved at feeling the presence of God here among you this morning. What a wonderful group you are, glorious church that you are. And thank you for the experience of having me here as your preacher. I'm going to attempt to do these slides on my own. There we go. That's my wife, Juliana. She's a Filipina, born and raised in the Philippines. And our son, Stephen, he's a good mix. We came here last year to get Steve to bring him to Boise Bible College, and he spent a year this last year there, and so our time here is to help him make the transition, and we thought it was going to be a short transition, but I think it's going to be a little longer. And so in the meantime, we've taken on a church there in Nez Perce, just south of Lewiston, and so we went there in April, and we've been there ever since. So we're still very active in the ministry there in the Philippines, and now enjoying the ministry in a local church there in Nez Perce. So it's been a great pleasure. You know, there was a there was a circuit riding preacher, and he had a horse trained especially for him, and the trainer of the horse taught the horse that on Praise the Lord he was to go and stop on Amen. And so he got on the horse and he said, Praise the Lord. And the horse went, and they got to a little stream there where he wanted to stop, and he said, Amen. And the horse stopped just short of a cliff. And the preacher was so amazed that this horse stopped just short of that it actually worked. And he was so excited about it, he said, praise the Lord. So, you know, in the Philippines, sometimes I like to tell jokes to kind of break the ice a little bit. And there's a gap between American humor and Filipino humor. And so I was telling my friend here in the States, I said, you know, sometimes they just don't get my jokes. And he said, that's okay, we don't get them either. So, I've been accused of being a foundational preacher, and I think that's right. And it served me well there in the Philippines. I'm always laying the basics of our faith, the basics of our Christianity. And so my messages are all about Jesus Christ and the Son of the Living God. We've started 30 churches there in the Philippines. In 2006 was the first one, and we were here in the States, and then two more were planted after that. And then we went there in 2011, where the Lord helped us plant an additional 27 churches. So you can imagine, it's always about laying the foundation of Jesus Christ and what that means. There are two reasons that I do that. That Jesus is so important to me and being a foundational preacher. And one of them comes from the book of Revelation, a verse that just haunts me. What a great, great blessing to have her in your worship service, isn't it? Amen. So the verse that haunts me there in Revelation is out of Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Talking about the Ephesian church. And Jesus says, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. What struck me when I read this is that the Ephesian church was so active and had such great ministries. The list is long there in chapter 2, but they go like this. I know your deeds. And I've been so amazed to be aware that that when we're active in ministry, God knows our deeds. And it's been an amazing blessing to me. He said, I know your toil and your perseverance. So they were active in their ministry. Some of the ministries were tough and hard, that you cannot tolerate evil men. So they were tested with the false teachers that came in. You put to test those who call themselves apostles and they are not, and you found them to be false. So they stood the ground with the doctrine, with proper doctrine, and they would not let the false teachers come in, the false apostles, the false doctrines come in. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake. So in Jesus Christ's name, the church existed and was active and had good ministries and deeds. For my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. They were fighting the good fight. But then right after that, Jesus says, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. How interesting. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you, and I will remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Big warning for me is to not to get so involved in the church and so involved in doing things in ministries that I forget my first love, that I forget my Jesus, and that it's all about him. And we couldn't do these wonderful works if it wasn't for the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus. Strong words, unless you repent. So I don't want to get too involved in that, except for to only make that point, that we can never forget that it's all about Jesus. The other reason that causes me to be a foundational preacher is what this message is about. So I've entitled this message, are we not working? There we go. Are you doing the slides for me? Okay, good, thanks. Because I told Stephen, I know I'm just going to get going and forget all about pushing the slides. I will build my church. Can't see that very well, but that's a Filipino church. And one of our churches, it's a bamboo. And you can see that there's quite a bit of poverty there. This quote, I will build my church, is from Jesus. And I want to share some of my experience as a church planter to illustrate the importance of this truth. The truth that we are his church. And when we are his church, he guides us and blesses us and protects us. So it took us many years to prepare for the ministry, to go to the Philippines. And when it finally became clear that God was actually going to send us, I panicked a little bit, you know, because we had been there twice before and the poverty is so stark. I said, Lord, how do I help these people? What can I do for them? There's no way I could raise enough money to take care of all the poverty in a country or even in the area that we were at. It was just too stark. And so I asked, Lord, how do we help these people? And the answer came, give them Jesus. Give them my God. Give them the one who has shown me such great love. Give them God, the one who answers my prayers. Organizations, NGOs, and denominations do not have the resources that my God has. And when God blesses, you are blessed indeed. And then I remembered this verse, Matthew 16, 15 through 18. And Jesus asked them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because the Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Excuse me. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not conquer it. Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am?" And with the help of the Father, Peter nailed it. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." When the church is built upon the confession that Jesus is the Messiah, or Christ, and he is the Son of the living God, which means the appointed one, the awaited one, the one the Jewish nation and the world had awaited for since the fall of the garden, in the garden. They are awaiting their Savior, their King, the one who would set them free from the slavery of sin and death. The Jews waited nearly 2,000 years, and the world waited 4,000 years for the Messiah, the Son of God. "I will build my church," Jesus said, and it is not built upon any organization or denomination or church movement or any man. It's built upon the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you remember the first sermon that was preached by Peter? We read that message in the book of Acts chapter 2. The occasion was here that Jesus had risen from the dead, and he appeared to about 500 people over a 40-day period. And he tells the disciples, he gathers them together, and he says, "Wait for the Holy Spirit, who will give you power to be my witnesses." In other words, power to tell what his coming and death on the cross and resurrection mean to the world. So after the Holy Spirit comes upon them, Peter, who had first proclaimed that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, was given the privilege to preach this first sermon, this first message, the good news that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a privilege. So Peter concludes in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, "So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." That was the conclusion to the message. And it was so strong that it pierced their hearts and caused 3,000 people to want to repent. In verse 37, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And in Acts 38, "Repent, let each of you repent for your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you and your children and all those who are far away, all those who have been called by the Lord your God." Called to what? Called that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Called to him, called to that reality. And Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all of the listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who had believed what Peter said, those who had believed what Peter said, "He is the Christ, the Son of the living God," were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 souls. The first church, the first converts, were converted on the fact and the belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. 3,000 souls were saved that day. And the reason was because in the proclamation of that name, they realized that their sins could be forgiven, and he was raised from the dead, and someday they too would. Peter declared, "So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the church is built upon the confession and the belief that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, when the church's message is that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, when we believe and our lives understand, because Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then our lives are changed. Then also part two becomes assured. "I will build my church, and the powers of hell shall not conquer it." My friends, we have nothing to fear. As his church, we collectively, as we sang today, we are the church of God. We are his church. All of those who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of those who have come to confess that he is my Lord and Savior, all of us collectively are his church. And we, when we come together and understand that he is our Savior, when we proclaim this message, not only here collectively at a church, but as a church, but in our individual lives, because individually we are his church also, then the gates of hell shall not prevail to this church collectively and to each of our lives as we live out the fact in our lives that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He has promised that nothing will defeat us, even the powers of hell. So I'd like to illustrate this with a story about in the Philippines. And it's about my dear friend, Pastor Alagos. That's him there on the right. As you can tell, he's Filipino, and I'm white and much taller. And that's before I had a beard. He's an amazing fellow. He speaks 15 or 16 different languages. He is an elementary school principal for four elementary schools. He teaches master's level courses on education, teachers that are going for their master's level. And he's a pastor. He's an evangelist. When I met him, he had been in the ministry for 27 years and had planted 27 churches. Just an amazing fellow. So the first church that we built was in 2006. It was called Grace Chapel. It was in my wife's hometown, and it was there that I met Pastor Alagos. And we formed a partnership there between the two of us, and he had the means to be able to plant churches, and he planted two more, and we raised the money to be able to do that ministry. And then in 2011 is when the Lord sent us there. Well, Pastor Alagos at the time was in a denomination, and he was going through a crisis at that time with the denomination. He had been nominated to be superintendent of that denomination for that region. Well, the denomination had lost their first love. They were more concerned with politics and titles and prestige and money. And Pastor Alagos was completely focused on starting new churches in the remote areas of the Philippines. And when they nominated him as superintendent, to be superintendent, then the dirty tricks followed. The jealousies and the political dirty tricks and all that happened there. And we arrived just as he was in the peak of this. And Pastor Alagos felt like he was stuck because he had received his ordination from the denomination and his authority to be able to go out and preach from the denomination. And he thought if he left the denomination, then he would lose that. And so when I arrived, I simply started to explain to Pastor Alagos that this is God's church. It does not belong to any denomination. And our authority does not come to preach from any denomination. So as he began to realize that, as he began to understand that we are God's church, not a denomination's church, and that he is a pastor to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to the denomination, then he was able to break free. And I'll never forget the day that he came to me and he said, I gave my resignation and they accepted it. And now I work only for the Lord God. Amen. What a great realization that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the church is built upon that. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. I have been given all authority on heaven and on earth. Authority does not come from churches, does not come from denominations, does not come from any organization. The authority for the church comes from Jesus Christ. And so he goes, therefore, because I have been given all authority, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these things, teach these new disciples to obey all that I command and have been given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. there's that promise again. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. As we went forth, as we go forth, planting new churches or establishing churches or going forth in our own communities, proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, coming in the name of Jesus Christ, then he is with us all the way. If we are his church, then we operate under his authority, and he will not abandon us. Sound familiar? If we are his church, then the gates of hell will not overpower us. Now here comes the ordination part. In Acts 20, 28, be on guard for yourselves and for all of the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So the eldership, the leaders, the pastors come from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings them in based upon the authority of Jesus Christ, who sends the Holy Spirit. Does not come from an organization, but comes directly from God. The Lord's church has his appointed shepherds by the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Alagos understood, and now he had the strength to resign. But now the powers of hell came out. Pastor Alagos had left the denomination and proclaimed himself a messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ, working for God alone. So Pastor Alagos, one of the congregations that we had built, that he had built before we got there, was called Tabernacle of Praise. And one of the people there donated a lot of money to build this church. And a nice church building in the Philippines is very unusual. And she bought the land and helped build the church, and the congregation raised money to build the church. But when he had left the denomination, they wanted that church building. And so they began to woo the lady that actually owned the property and the church, and they told her that if she would bring the church into their denomination, that they would hire her nephew. And then they went door to door around the community and told them that Pastor Alagos and I were drunkards, and we were the church of the 666, and that our message was satanic. Then came God's promise against the powers of hell. So the elders of the church decided that they would leave the building. On the way out, they ceremoniously shook the dust off of their feet. They rented another venue on the border of that community and another community. And because people were now coming from two communities, the first church service doubled in size. It went from 35 to 70. But now, when they had left their original place, their original church, then the community leaders felt the absence of the church that had left. And so they went to Pastor Alagos, and they said, if you will bring the church back, we will find land for you to build a church on. When Pastor Alagos was there, every time someone got sick, they went and prayed for him, prayed for them. Every time someone died, they held a church service or went and comforted the family in deaths. When the mosquito disease, chikungunya, broke out, the church bought medication and prayed for all the sick. And the community leaders, mostly not Christians, were the ones that came to Pastor Alagos and said, please bring the church back. So I want to stop here for a second and say, I think this is a good test for any church. If the church folded or left, would the community and its leaders miss it? Well, we didn't move the church because it was already doing well in this new location, but we did start another church in the location that they wanted us. They did donate land, and we built a church there and gathered the community in with very poor community. So now the one church became a thriving church, and then we built another church, and it became two churches through the persecution. And then one of the members got so excited, she donated land near there, and we built another church. And the once persecuted church became three churches. So when we are God's church, then he blesses us and he protects us, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So because you are God's church built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, because you proclaim the message that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, because you are here, are his church, his people, his children, Jesus will continue to build his church here. And the gates of hell will not prevail against this body or your lives. So I have an obvious question for you today. Who do you say that Jesus is? Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here among your people, Lord. And you've asked, Lord, that when people invite your servants in, Lord, to leave your peace. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would bless this congregation. Bless them as a whole and bless them individually, Lord. Bless their marriages, Lord. Bless their homes, Lord. Bless their relationships with their families, Lord. Bless their coming and going, Lord. Bless their finances, Lord. Their crops and their businesses, Lord. Bless them, Lord, in the community. Let them be vital and vibrant, Lord, in this community. Even more, Lord, than they already are today. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to establish your church right here in this community. And Lord, this church reaches out into the world in so many missionary places, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the ministries in each one of those, Lord. That each one of those foreign ministries where the missionaries are, where this church loves and supports them, Lord, that those churches would continue to expand and proclaim your name and be your church, Lord, in a lost and a dying world. I pray, Lord, that you bless everyone here today. In Jesus' name.